Morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be able to connect with you one more time. Things have been really up and down within the Ebenezer body. We've had some losses over the last few weeks, and we really need you to pray for us. Our latest one that has passed and gone on to see the Lord is Brother Lewis Martin. Brother Lewis Martin. So I ask you to pray for Wanda, his wife, and the entire Martin family and Ebenezer as we just stay close to the Lord and also celebrate that we are saved. Are there any people out there like, Lord, I just thank you that we are saved and we have hope? If you're on the chat, just say amen, hallelujah. And if you're sitting around, just clap some hands, just thanking the Lord for another day of life. As we progress through this week and just thinking about the families that I've had to visit, one thing I've learned, I love those that God has put around you every day. If you can't get to them, send them text. Just let them know that you're thinking about them and that they can be encouraged and you also can be encouraged. We put so many things on our website, and we thank you for staying connected via our app and also online, our website, because you can get all the information for the funerals, our Bible studies, other things that are coming up, right update to the moment, and get those notifications. Sometimes we forget with everything that's going on within the life of us as we progress through the day. On Mondays, we've got Monday Manna, where we've got different teachings to encourage us and help us to grow in the Lord. Tuesday, in our noonday Bible study, our virtual connection, we're actually going through the book of Genesis, taking excerpts and getting the history, the background, so we can understand the New Testament better. And also on our Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke, the teachings of Christ. And we just thank the Lord for just the wealth of information that he's left us in these 66 books. And then on Thursdays in our in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary, we're actually going through the book of 1 Corinthians, where we're asking questions and we're sharing with one another. And we invite you, if you can put that on your schedule, 6 o'clock right there in the sanctuary of Ebenezer. Please continue to pray. So many things are coming up for our next service. Services Sunday, 8:45, 10 o'clock online, 10:45. Our 8:45 service, it's Pastor Appreciation Day throughout that day. And I thank you for your prayers. 24 years being pastor of Ebenezer. And it's all because I have you, the saints of God, lifting me up in prayer for myself and my family. So I'm just thankful for God's goodness. At our 8:45 service, we're going to have Pastor Keyshawn Niblett that's going to be speaking into our lives. Our 10 o'clock online next Sunday, we're going to have Pastor Freeman of United Institutional Baptist Church, our sister church right down the road. And then at our 10:45 service, we're going to have Pastor Kilgo, Keith Kilgo, to come forth and speak into our lives. So many familiar faces, those that are in our in-person services, and also from last year, speaking into the lives of Ebenezer, and also an encouraging word for myself. Well, I'm just thinking about Ebenezer and how God has allowed us to do so many outreach programs, and I just want to thank you. Yes, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your giving and your love, whether you're giving via the app or you're sending it into our in-person services, or you're in our in-person services, or you're sending it to our secured mailbox. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Just the other Sunday, we were in City Central Park, and we were able to give out food and also clothing just to encourage people, sending funds overseas, so many things. People are going through, and we've been able to be in a pivotal point to actually assist and help those people. So thank you for all that you do. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word of God as I'm thinking about fulfilling our calling, knowing what our calling is. We're going to dig into that today. And I'm telling you, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, you be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
I'm in the Old Testament, St. Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with the first verse. In those days, the multitude began being very great and having nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting on their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence come a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves ye have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground and to take the 7 loaves and gave them thanks, brake and gave it to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before him. So they did eat, and we were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and they sent them away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Has the Lord done anything for you? Oh, you are. Well, I'm a living witness. God will see you through. Oh, you are. Well, he picked me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. You are. Yeah, I'm a living witness. My God will see you through. Oh, he picked me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. You are. Yes, I'm a living witness. My God will see you through. Oh, you are. Question again. Oh, has the Lord done anything for you? Oh, you are. Yeah, one day he picked me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. You are. Yes, now I'm a living witness. Oh, God will see you through. Oh, you are. Oh, you. Oh, Lord, you are to run. Oh, you. Only you, Lord, you are to run. To run and tell that you want to run and tell that you want to run and tell that woke you up this morning, started you on your way, put shoes on your feet, clothes on your back. You want to run. You want to run.
got to run. You got to run. You got to run. Woke you up this morning, clothed in your right mind. Standing on your feet, put clothes on my back. I had food on my table. Yeah, yeah. And tell them, oh, you are to run. Oh, you are to run and tell them.
The Lord is so good and worthy of all the praise. As we get back into these series on fulfilling our calling, my prayer for you is that we truly walk in all that God has for us. These are challenging times as we look at our political realm and we look at the wars and hear about the rumors of wars. It is very challenging, but you know what? God is still in charge. So I just want to go in a word of prayer, and I ask you to pray along with me as we prepare our hearts to receive the word that the Lord will speak into our lives. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are. You are amazing. We love you, Lord. I pray for those that are listening and viewing that may not know you. I pray that today be their day, that they desire a true relationship, that they realize that they're sinners and need a Savior. Help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that amazing grace, Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just put amen in that chat? Wherever you're sitting or standing, just say amen. Let's get back to our memory scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is where we've been focusing on. We want to speak it aloud to get it into our minds so it'll seep down into our hearts. So 1 Corinthians 6:19, would you speak it aloud with me? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Isn't that good? That is a total transformation of our lives to be what God would have us to be. Last Sunday, we were actually talking about Joseph, and we went to the end of his life and how the fulfillment of his calling actually blossomed, and how his brothers were blessed and their kids were blessed even after Jacob, his dad, passed away. Today, we're going to transition to the beginning of a calling. So let's go to this particular scripture. It's very powerful. This whole chapter we're going to be dealing with today, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, and I want you to focus in at that 24th verse. Judges 13 and 24, it reads, "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson." In the chat, can you put Samson? That's going to be a very powerful point at the end. "And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manahay Dan between Zorah and Eshtal." We want to speak from a title, a subject today, "Before You Were Even Born." Before you were even born. Saints and those that are looking in, maybe you don't know who Christ is. I want you to know that we all have a call on our lives. Before we even knew we were who we are, God had a perfect plan for our lives, and I'm going to really dig into that as we get into this Judges chapter 13. The time frame is about 1100 BC, and I want to give you just a little historical background on this book of Judges. This book of Judges, actually, the Hebrew name is Shaphanet, Yes, Shaphanet. This Shaphanim or Shaphanet, this book actually stands for the judges, the rulers, the deliverers, or saviors. So this Shaphanim, as we think about this and this whole process, God wanted to deliver his people. As we get into this section, this is one of the longest times that the children of Israel had been under oppression. And so what God does, he raises up judges, he raises up deliverers, he raises up these Shaphets in order to deliver his people from the oppression that they are under. Now, as we look at this, this Shaphet, this whole process of judging and saviors, God uses men and women just like you and me. Yes, he, and we're going to find out with Samson. I'm thinking about next Sunday going a little deeper in that whole process, or when we're back together in this particular series. But Samson is an interesting character. But I want to start from the womb today, and even more so, even before his mom and dad realize that they're going to have a child. This book is also known as the Book of Failures. Yes, the Book of Failures, because Israel would get a deliverer, a Shaphet, a Shaphanim, this whole process, and they would still go back to their old sinful ways. But anybody know that God is good in spite of ourselves? Let's pick up Judges 13 and 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. In the chat, can you put 40? That's going to be critical, a long, lengthy time. Now there was certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." Here's the point: a blessing with purpose. Yes, a blessing with purpose. As said earlier, this was the longest time that they had been under oppression of the Philistines. And so God, in his wonderful and mighty hand, he says, "You know what? I'm going to put a call on a child before the child is even born to actually follow out my will." Some of you blessed already thinking about that. And I believe really that all of us have calls on our lives. Those who are saved, delivered, been set free, God has allowed you to be here for a particular purpose. Notice as we look a little closer at this scripture, it talks about the angel of the Lord actually visits them. This is what's called a theophany. The basic definition of a theophany is a visible manifestation to humankind of God. Yes, a visible manifestation to mankind, of God. This is the Jesus Christ. Most historians believe he was manifested in the New Testament, 100% man, 100% God, but he's always been here. And so these appearances are God in a vise to talk to man. This is wonderful because this serves a dual purpose as we think about this blessing with purpose. Manoah and his wife, we don't have her name, we're just going to call her Mrs. Manoah. She can't bear any children. She's been barren for a lengthy period of time. God shows up and says, "Okay, there's going to be a purpose within you. You're going to have a child." This is a blessing to them on that level, but also it's going to be a blessing to multitude, to the Israelites. Notice Judges 13:3 again. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." This is not just any son. This is the mighty Samson, the powerful Samson that's going to do so many mighty miracles for the Lord. Joseph Addison wrote this. He said, "Our real blessing often appears to us in the shape of pains, losses, and disappointments. But let us have patience, and we soon shall see them in their proper figures." Any hallelujahs to that? So often, we have to go through, just as Mrs. Manoah and Manoah were going through, not being able to have a child. God shows up in the nick of time. And even as we look forward to Samson's life, there is going to be a lot of disappointments, but God is still going to be glorified before you were even born. All of us, again, have purpose. In the chat, can you type out real quick, I have purpose. I have purpose. If you're sitting or standing, just say, I have purpose. That lets you know so many people are coming to the end of their ropes and giving up their lives because they feel like there is no purpose within their lives. Please, God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations before you were even born. God is working in the womb, working before the womb, working in the whole situation of Manoah and his wife to bring forth a blessing with purpose. Look at Judges 13:4. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That call is already upon him before he's even born. Judges 13:6. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name before you were even born. Look at Judges 13:7. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, or of the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again, and this is critical, we're going to deal with this, and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Here's the point: train up a child. Yes, train up a child. As we're looking at this fulfillment of our purpose, parents, I want to encourage you. Grandparents, I want to encourage you. You do have a part in the calling of those that God has put in your realm of authority. Yes, you do have a part in that. God can use you, and we're going to look closely at Manoah and his wife. God actually specifies directions for Samson's life before he's even born. He begins to speak to Mrs. Manoah over and over again. We're going to read this over and over again. God wants to make sure that they have these directives right. Judges 13:4, he says, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. This was a critical part of a Nazarite vow, that this person or the person that was following this would be separated, set apart for the use for God's glory. Judges 13:5 goes on this whole process, training up a child, and no razor shall come upon his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. This is a prophecy. This is prophetic. Again, Samson has not been born. Samson has not even been conceived as this angel of the Lord is speaking, this theophany. God himself shows up to speak into the lives of these parents. What calling has God put upon your life even before you were born? There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. I'm telling you, some of you are looking for your calling. You're trying to walk out your calling. I want you to know that the foundation for your calling has already been implanted in you. And no matter what the enemy does, no matter how much he comes against you, God is already ordering your step to have an intersection with a fulfillment of the calling that he alone has placed in your life. Parents, we are responsible in training up our children, raising our children in the mandates of God, and loving them as much as possible. But please, when it all comes to it and said and done, they have to answer to God for themselves. Yes, we can lay the foundation. We can do all the things that God has told us to do. But please understand, they will have to answer to God for themselves. But there ought to be some parents that can shout out, out there that God is faithful to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think before you were even born. Proverbs 22:6 says it like this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. It becomes problematic because sometimes children do go astray. Sometimes they make decisions that are contrary to what we think they should make. But please wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen our heart. He may not show up when you want him, but there ought to be some shouts of praise. He is always on time. But notice within this portion of scripture that we read, Manoah was not present when the angel of the Lord actually spoke to his wife. But I love the heart of Manoah. Notice that Judges 13:8, second part. Oh, my Lord, he cries out, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. Isn't that beautiful? We can sense the heart of this worshiper, the heart of this man of God desiring to be used of the Lord, and also his child and his family to be used of the Lord. Judges 13:9 goes on with this thought pattern, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. Yes, as parents, we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our adultlings. We need to pray for those that have gone to different places. Pray a covering over their lives that the Lord will touch their hearts. Notice God heard the prayer of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Again, he misses this encounter, but God is gracious. Judges 13:10. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah rose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? Now, this is interesting. God is manifested through this theophany. He stays there. Mrs. Manoah, she runs to her husband, and the angel of the Lord waits for them to get back. The angel of the Lord could have followed, but there's oftentimes a process in our lives that we have to step out on in faith, and he is waiting for us there. Notice, and he said, I am. Judges 13:12. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Here it is, the repetition again. The angel of the Lord is saying, hey, you got to get this right. Judges 13:14, she may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Here's the point, one word. Confirmation. Yes, confirmation. The calling that's in our lives, even from birth and as we grow up, will be confirmed. We may not like it. We may not want to hear it. But I guarantee you it has been spoken into our lives and other people will confirm it. Now, some people can speak stuff in your life. It is not God. So you need to be hearing from those who are godly, who have been praying, who have been loving on you, that can actually see what God is doing in you. Mrs. Manoah and Manoah, please understand, before Samson knows who he is, they have already got mandates for his life. Your calling will be confirmed. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians 13:1 is this principle. It says, this will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Yes, God has a way of confirming the calling in your life. He has a way of bringing people. And I've got story after story. If you looked at last Sunday message of how God confirmed things within my life, even when I didn't want to have that confirmation, I didn't want to hear his voice. God has a way of going, hey, this is the stamp. This is the path I desire you to go on. Notice God shows up and he repeats repeats those mandates over and over again before you were even born. But I love Manoah's enthusiasm. We talked about that earlier. Judges 13:12. Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass." That's exclamation. He's excited. He said, "God, you just do it. Do it for me right now. Do it for my son. Do it for my wife. Lord, thank you for using us." Are there any folks out there that said, "Lord, thank you for using me"? When you look back over your life, you realize that you weren't so smart. It wasn't because you were so you had enough money or came from a good family or the best of families. But aren't you glad God was still able to use you? Aren't you glad that God is still able to transform you? And even now, God has a calling upon you and your family. Manoah is excited that he's going to have his first child, but most importantly, he's excited because God chose to stop by his house before you were even born. But he also wants to make sure that Samson is trained up properly. This child that he has not even met, he's getting in his mind, "Okay, God, I got to do it your way." Thank God for confirmation. How many confirmations have you already had within your life? Yes, right where you are right now, I just want you to think back. How many words of affirmation, confirmation have been spoken into your life? But oftentimes we run from those. We want to do what we want to do, but God is faithful. Look at Judges 13:15. "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord." So Manoah's been talking to this man. The wife understands this is a theophany. We're going to find that out a little later. But in this process, Manoah's just like, "Thank you for the blessings. I know that you are different." Judges 13:17. "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you.'" This makes sense. I want to know who you are. You bestowed this blessing upon us before you were even born, before my child is even conceived. You said we're going to have a child, and he's already has a calling upon his life. Judges 13:18. "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on." Look at this. "It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord." Here's the point. The power of God. Yes, the power of God. So he's the angel of the Lord is going over the mandates again. Okay, these are the things you're supposed to do. This is how you train up the child. The child is coming. The child is going to be blessed. I'm going to use this child. But notice Manoah, he said, "You know what? I need to know your name so that we can honor you. I need to know your name so we can worship you." And in essence, God says, "It's too wonderful. It's too awesome. If I told you my name, you couldn't handle it." And I'm telling you, that's some shouting points today to think about the name of Jesus. That there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. This sacrifice that Manoah wants to do is to thank God, to thank him for what he's done, how he showed up in this theophany, this angel of the Lord. And it's also to solidify that confirmation that was given that this child is blessed, this child is called, this child is set apart, separated for the fulfillment of a prophecies. The parents will have to remember this encounter over and over again, because Samson is going to lose his mind from time to time. There ought to be some hallelujahs and amens just put it in the chat. He's going to go astray. He's going to make some mistakes. And the parents are constantly going to have to go back and say, there's a calling on your life from the foundations of the earth. There's a calling upon your life before we even knew you were Samson. There's a calling upon your life. The angel of the Lord showed up and spoke to us and said, in spite of you, a prophecy will be fulfilled. In spite of you, you will be the deliverer. You are the Shaphatim. You are the one that God has called in spite of. Some of you need to shout and thank God. In spite of ourselves, he still wants to use us. We need to thank him for the call in our lives, but also thank him for the call in other lives. Because as we come together, we're like iron sharpening iron, and we can lift up God's name, and more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. What would happen if we continue to just thank God for the fulfillment of his calling within our lives? I believe this world would be turned upside down. I believe there were revival would start in our homes. Revival would start on our jobs. Revival would start as we walk in more of God's will. I'm telling you, he has a calling on our lives before you were even born. Notice these final scriptures as we pull them together, Judges 13 and 22. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said, I told you earlier, she did. She had a conception of what's going on. If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as this at this time. Judges 13, 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manahed Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Final point, the fulfillment. Yes, the fulfillment. We talked about that confirmation, but I want to deal with the fulfillment of the promise, the fulfillment of the purpose, the blessing, the fulfillment of the call really is culminated within Samson. Now, I've called out that name, but literally within this scripture, Samson means a man of the sun or a little son. Yes, a man of the sun or a little son, which equates to that he would be a powerful man, used of God. He would be someone that his life would shine upon many. We know he's going to have issues and struggles, but notice Judges 13, 24, that mid part, and called his name Samson, and the trial grew, and the Lord blessed him. I'm telling you, before you were even born, Samson doesn't really even know who he is at this point, but a blessing has already been bestowed upon him. He's already growing. God is ordering his step. It's such a blessing to see how God can move in our lives and the lives of others, to see that walk out. I've seen God do it in my life with my children. I've seen God do it even with my life with my parents. You've seen him work in your lives. We've just got to embrace that God is faithful. He can do so much within our lives because he is God all by himself. Please, we could stand here and we could give excitement points about Samson, but I want to switch right here. There's someone that's better than Samson. You know his name. His name is Jesus. See, the enemy will try to do all he can do in Samson's life to trip him up, but I'm so glad that God sent himself in the New Testament, 100% God, but yet 100% man, to walk among men and women, heal the sick and raise the dead. I'm so glad that he chose to be manifested. Yes, the fulfillment of the prophecy through Christ. He chose to be born of a little virgin girl named Mary, and Joseph was his earthly father. In the midst of that, he fulfills all the prophecies about that he would come and man would be delivered through him. Please understand, he is our true deliverer, our savior. He just didn't stop with the healings and the miracles, but he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, cries out for us. He's betrayed, goes down the Via Dolorosa where he spit on, and he's talked about, and he goes to a cross called Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, all for us. He is our deliverer. He is the true Shaphatim. He's the one who hangs on the cross of Calvary, and he carries our sins and bears our griefs before you were even born. And on that cross of Calvary, there he dies for us. They put him in a cold grave, but he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, and now he's ascended. Remember, I didn't talk about it, that theophany, the angel of the Lord, when Manoah made that sacrifice, remember, they were startled because the theophany, that angel actually ascended up with the fire. It's the same picture of Christ when he was raised from the dead. He ascends up to the right hand of the Father, and now he's interceding for us before you were even born. He wants our callings to be fulfilled in us. And please understand, God is the one that'll never leave us nor forsake us. And because we know it, I just wondered if somebody can just give him some praise right now and say, thank you, Lord, for knowing me before I was even born. That is good, good, wonderful, amazing news to know that God is our everything. Saints, I want to encourage you. God has more for you to do. Yes, he has left you here for a purpose that was started before you were even born. For those that are looking, listening in, and you don't know Christ, you don't have a real relationship. First, I want you to admit that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior, that you're kind of going through life and just trying to figure this out. But let me introduce you to a man that has already figured it out. Man, he has already met us before we can meet him. He said, by grace we're saved, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Just accept the gift. Call on him. He'll come into your heart and he'll begin that transformation process from the inside out. He's able to give you purpose. And then you'll start to see, man, those were some confirmations. People did speak that, and I wasn't able to receive it. But now that I've accepted Christ, I can see there's a bigger plan that's being worked out in my life. Saints, we are living in the last days. I don't know when he's coming back, but as I see so many treacherous things that are going on, I know that as saints, the people of God, we need to step up and walk in the calling that God has placed on our lives. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this chapter as we examine Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, Father God, and even Samson, and how you work in the lives of men and women from the foundations of the earth. Thank you, God, for callings that have been placed on our lives even before we understood who we were. Now, Lord, help us to submit to you. Help us to worship you. Help us to walk in all that you call for us to do within our lives. Lord, we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, now I'm found. I don't mind waiting, waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. I don't mind where.